Thank you. Well, good morning to you all. There's a lot of things I wanted to say as an introduction to this time with you all. But maybe what I'll say is it's always a joy to be with you guys. I remember the first time I visited Fenton, and this is a little bit embarrassing because it shows my immaturity back then. But first time I visited Fenton, I came here and I saw the worship band and I saw all these things I just wasn't accustomed to in my church growing up. And I remember kind of just like being a little judgmental and critical. Well, I want you to know that God has changed that judgmental, critical spirit within me in many ways. I probably still have it in a lot, not towards Fenton, but in other ways. But Fenton is like, when I tell people of a thriving church, I tell them about Fenton. It's one of the top churches. So really appreciate your guys' hearts. You guys are always so loving and kind. You've been very good to us out in California with your prayers and your financial support and many other ways. But one thing I really think is cool, almost every time I come, there's always a new face in this group. And I don't know how you do it, but it's really neat. So keep going on for the Lord here. So what I'm going to do today is I want to share with you about the work, some things that the Lord has been doing, and hopefully it's going to be about half of our time is going to be shared in a report. It's not going to do justice, but it's hopefully going to be more than a letter to you all. And then the second half, I want to share with you something that God has taught me, and I hope that that word of encouragement from God himself, I think, will be really helpful to you all in your walks with him. So let's look first here. I'm going to get this going, and then we're going to pray. I'm going to share with you a video. Thank you, Kevin Callan, for being so wonderful at showing people how to do things. We're going to have this video, and it's 12 minutes long, but I'm going to actually cut it off a little early just for sake of time today. So before we do that, I just want to pray for this little time of the report. Father, I just want to thank you so much that me and my family get to come and share with the group here in Fenton about what you are doing in California. We are really thankful for what you're doing both there and here. I think they could stand up and share their own report right now to the midst of us all, and we'd be encouraged. And I pray the same would be true as I share with them today what you are doing in Freedom and Watsonville. So we commit this into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. So before I show this video, I know you people on Zoom can't see my face, but let me just say this really quick. Before I share this video, when we moved out there, we decided I work with five other full-time families, and we're CMML missionaries as well. So you'll find four of us families in the CMML handbook. And that's really unique for a group of people to go and start a work together. When missionaries go out, it's typically they go out by themselves or one or two families. So it's really a huge blessing. And anyway, we have a group out there that we've started, a nonprofit called Freedom Teams, to help with reaching the community. And so this video is kind of a overall view of what we're doing as a group out there. So I'll share it with you. I'm going to stop it right after a testimony of a young man. So.
the end of a complete month, at the end of July, we sat down as a team and we figured out what we had spent. And it was crazy. But we realized that what we had spent was equivalent to a rent payment, basically, here. And so we decided as a team that we're at peace about really seeking the Lord for more permanent type housing. The next day, my wife and I were praying in our Highlander, and we were all looking into options, and we got a response to an email inquiry. And I found out later he had 480 applicants waiting to look at the remaining available apartments. They require everybody to fill out financial information, credit score. You give them your checking account balance, your savings account balance. And so he could tell we had almost nothing. And yet here he accepts us. Really, we look at it as a miraculous provision from God.
Was the local work, reaching our city with the gospel. We are so thankful for the church the Lord has started here. We started off meeting in Scott and Dan's 850 square foot apartments, and then as the Lord provided a larger home for Micah and Christina, we were able to meet there. And now, as the church has continued to grow, we alternate meeting at Micah's home and Dan's home once a month. Please pray for us as we are looking to the Lord for a larger, more permanent location for meeting. Freedom, California has a population of about 4,000, and Watsonville, the neighboring town which we live in, has a population of about 53,000. About 80% of the population is Hispanic. Many of these individuals are farm workers who work in the strawberry fields or some other type of agriculture. Many of them have migrated to the United States from Mexico. Between one-third and one-half of all farm workers live in California. That's about 500,000 to 800,000 farm workers. 75% of that number would be undocumented individuals who are seeking to find a better life for themselves. Within this population, there are many who are considered unreached people groups, and God has placed us right here in the midst of them. We are so thankful for the opportunities the Lord has given us to share the gospel with them. Some of those ways have been through food distribution, which we help out with once a month, and other times we have put together events where we are able to provide some type of physical need while sharing the gospel with them. Please continue to pray for opportunities to share the gospel, but most of all, that the individuals who have come to find a better way of life will find that in Jesus Christ. Each summer, we have been able to have a kids' camp, which we have called Freedom Bible Camp. This camp is much like a day camp, where we have fun playing games, making crafts, singing, and then sharing a gospel message. In the morning, we have a camp at Callahan Park, which is across the street from Micah and Christina's home. And in the afternoon, we have a camp at Riverside Park, which is just a few blocks from Dan and Cindy's home. We are thankful for some children who have made professions of faith during this time. The camp has provided opportunities to meet parents and share the gospel with more than just the children. Please continue to pray for for us as we minister to the kids and their families through the camps. Years ago, we tried to start a good news club, but then COVID hit and we were unable to proceed. Praise God, the club is now moving forward. Each week, the club meets at Dan and Cindy's home, and around 15 kids and sometimes more attend. Please continue to pray that the children and their families would respond to the saving message. The second burden the Lord gave us was that of discipleship. We are thankful for the individuals the Lord has sent this way who desire to be discipled. We enjoy living life together and sharing with them the things that the Lord has taught us. Please pray that those who come to be discipled will go away having been greatly changed. The third burden that the Lord gave us was to reach many cities with the gospel. He has given us 8 cities that we are currently praying for: Phoenix, Las Vegas, Salt Lake City, Helena, Boise, Reno, Portland, and Seattle. We ourselves do not plan to move to any of these cities, but we are praying for the workers that will go in obedience to the Lord to see new churches started for His glory. The Lord is working all throughout North America. We see and hear wonderful stories of what He is doing. Please pray for these new works and the workers who will go. We have many stories that we could share with you about what God is doing and how He is working, but here is just one story of a man's life that was changed. Listen as he shares briefly how God changed his life.
One Wednesday in May of 2021, May 26th, while I was feeling deeply lost on a spiritual level, I was walking down the sidewalk and I started praying as I walked. I prayed intensely for God to show me the truth, to reveal himself to me. I'd seen a bunch of wetsuits hanging up in the yard of a house that I had passed by on a walk. Since I was trying to learn to get better at surfing, I prayed that whoever lived there would be home and willing to become friends with me. He gave me his number, and then he invited me to dinner at his house that Saturday night. I went over on Saturday, and we prayed over the meal before eating. Before I got to explaining that I had been feeling a bit lost and been reading about other religions, he said, "We're Christians too!" Up until that point, neither of us knew that we were both Christians. Furthermore, I found out later that Micah had prayed that day too, because he had work to do around the house, but he just wanted to go evangelize instead. The Lord told him to stay home and do the work, and for that reason, the Lord answered both of our prayers that Wednesday afternoon. I no longer wonder if I screwed up beyond salvage. I know and trust that I am saved by faith, by God's amazing grace, by the atonement of the innocent bloodshed of Jesus Christ, the ultimate sacrifice. And because He died once and for all, I know that my salvation is eternal.
Thank you.
close it there. That's Michael. Michael is a real joy to all of us of how God changed his life. There's a lot I could tell you about him, but let me get into these photos really quick here that I want to show you and give you a little bit more of a report on the work in California. All right, so I'm not sure if I can make my screen any bigger, but if you can't see that, that's the Bay Area. San Francisco is north of us, just a little ways. Oh, it started in a bad spot. Hang on, folks. You get to see all the pictures before you're supposed to. There we go. All right, the Bay Area is right there. So you have San Francisco, San Jose, Santa Cruz, and then that's Watsonville right on the edge of it, and then Monterey, Big Sur is down there. So we're right in the heart of it. And we're in, as you saw, a Hispanic town. So our town is easily 80% Hispanic people. It's farmland, Hispanics all over the place. You think you're literally in Mexico because all the stores have Spanish writing all over the doors, and it's many people that speak Spanish there. Many of the Hispanics will, oh, perfect, thank you. Many of the Hispanics actually will speak English, so there's not as huge of a need for Spanish all the time. So right here are some of the folks on the team. Wanted to point out David and Betsy were missionaries in Honduras, and then Ecuador, or Honduras, then Nicaragua, and then most recently in Kazakhstan. COVID brought them back to the California area, and then they joined us recently. They're a joy to have on the team, mature, seasoned missionaries, and David just really is an amazing evangelist, even though it's not his gift, but he's been a real joy to have on the team. And where we're at, we're standing at, this is the homeless encampment. We were just up there talking and praying that morning. We enjoy life together. Like I said, five families. So there were six. One family's moved to Iowa. That's where they were originally from. The Lord called them back to Iowa. But we really enjoy life together. And that's one of the huge blessings for the work out there is like we act like a family in everything we do. We pray together multiple times throughout the week in person. We spend a lot of time together, and it's just a real joy. Here we're celebrating, I think this was probably celebrating 3 years of being there up at Mount Madonna in the Redwoods. We enjoy times at the beach singing and praying. Sometimes we have church on the beach, not very often because it's a little hard to hear with all those waves. Here we are. This is fun. We the whole church went out to see the Oakland A's, who really are no good. But this guy up here, this is Caesar, who I'll tell you about in a minute. He's 23-ish, but he had never been to a baseball game, loves the Oakland A's, even though they're miserable. And so we all went and had a great time together as a church family. This is Leroy, and I forget his daughter's name. Dana. Leroy and Dana. They came to Freedom Bible Camp this summer, just happened upon us, and his daughter wanted to hang out with us. He and his wife just recently were divorced. Her daughter has no friends, and they saw the camp. They came over. Leroy hung out for a while, found out that he, like many of the people in our church, got saved earlier in life, but has not been walking with the Lord. He's a former MMA fighter, and it's just kind of ruined his life. And I talked to him and said, hey, why don't you just come have lunch with us? And next thing you know, he's with us all day, and now he's coming to church. And he just recently told Caesar, we found out because Caesar has a discipleship time, Bible studies with Scott each week. He told Caesar, he said, where did you find these people? I've never been to a church that the people love God and love each other, which is sad testimony of churches, but it was joy for him to see Christ in us there. And so he's been coming. Pray for him, though. He had a Catholic background, so there's, with many of the people in our church, actually, a lot of confusion with some of the teachings. So we're continually working with them. This is Omar and Caesar. Omar, I'm so not good at this. Omar, as well as raised Catholic, and Caleb Trent, who is an ER doctor. Omar is a scribe, and so he met Caleb, and Caleb talked to him, and Omar's like, I'd love to come to your church. So he's been coming very faithfully. Again, the Catholic background is, a lot of those things are being brought in, and he's confused about many things, so we're teaching them little by little and helping them to see the truth of the Word of God. And then Caesar, he's quite a joy. So Michael was telling that story where I met him, Michael, on the road, and I wanted to be out evangelizing. I needed to work in the garage that day. I said, okay, Lord, I'll do the work you've given me to do. Michael came along, and next thing you know, Michael's a part of the church. His life has radically changed. He was in California from New York. He came here to sell, or came to California to sell marijuana, to start a whole plant because he couldn't do it legally in New York. The Lord just changed him. He gave it all up, and he's like, I'm going to follow God. And anyway, Michael's like brings everybody to church. Caesar, Caesar was working with Michael at this marijuana growing facility. And Caesar, too, was saved when he was younger in high school, got involved in some gang stuff. And Michael, then, as Michael's life was changed, Caesar saw that, and Caesar's like, what's happened? I want this. And then now Caesar came to church, and Caesar is just like really on fire for the Lord. He went to a thing called Galilee, which is in Louisiana. It's a discipleship training course, and he's just growing all the time. Recently, he asked Scott, because they were meeting, he said, hey, I'd really love to pray for the bread one morning and just tell Jesus, thank you for your death on the cross. Is that okay? And Scott's like, absolutely. And Scott texted all of us guys so Caesar would have the opportunity to do that. And Caesar then, well, I'll tell you in a minute. This is Pat, and this is Cecilia. Cecilia moved here from Canada, and she's originally from Bolivia. But she's here. She has a master's, and she's working with one of the big produce organizations, helping develop raspberries or something. But she's a joy to have. This is her dog. This is Pat. Pat was the first lady that started coming to church. She got saved. We met her in the park. Pat, it's just 86, 87 years old, and like sin is brought before her. She deals with it, and it's just a real joy for us with Pat. Joyful in the Lord many times, which she wasn't when you first met her. It was like everything is bad. Now there's many things that are good. So this is us praying. We are getting ready to send off a group of people to have their first breaking of bread in a neighboring town called Salinas, which is where Caesar's from, which is where Leroy is moving. Cecilia lives in Salinas, and there's others that we have met in Salinas that want to see a church started. And so we're sending this day we were sending off David, Caesar, his brother, and Betsy here to be a part of that breaking of bread, just praying over them. And here they are for their first breaking of bread together. And this is the cool thing. Caesar, look at that smile on that guy. This is his brother, Jesus, and this is his mother, Marta, who both have made professions of faith because of Caesar. And so, like, it's just amazing. God brings a guy named Michael along, and all of a sudden, everyone starts getting saved as this trickling effect of people sharing Christ. So really joyful thing. We're praying for Salinas, and you can see here we are, Watsonville. Santa Cruz is here, Watsonville. Here's Salinas. We're praying for these towns here, Prunedale, Castroville, Chular, Gonzales, all these towns. We're praying that the Lord would continue to just work along these towns. These are all Hispanic, primarily Hispanic farm towns. And man, there's so many stories I could tell you about the different conversations people have had in those. I'm going to skip through some of these because I do think the Lord has a message he wants to share in the remaining moments. But this is the baptisms. I do want to share this of Karis. We won't watch the video here. And then Lincoln, you got to really get them out in the ocean. It's freezing cold. They're wearing wetsuits. You just kind of put them there and let the waves submerge them. I'll show you this real quick. So that was really a joyful time. Karis and Lincoln both got baptized just recently in California. And then Moses just got baptized at camp last week. And this is Jonathan. He was baptized the same day as Karis and Lincoln, and as well as Caleb Trent's two daughters. My mind is not working. Mia and Evelyn. And so we had five baptisms that day on the beach. It was such a wonderful day. We just had a time of rejoicing. This was fun. First breaking of bread for these three girls. You should have seen the joy as they took the bread and the cup that day. This is Good News Club. I'm skipping through all these. Sorry. You can see those later. wanted to share this really quick. CJ, Bryson, Silas. These are brothers, Caleb, Trent's sons. David Reeve started doing evangelism explosion training And these three were involved. Michael was involved. Caesar is involved. And they would go and have training for about an hour and a half. Is that right, Caesar? Hour and a half, 2 hours? And then after that, they would go out. Every Saturday, they'd have this training, and then they'd go out for about an hour doing evangelism. And so these boys, CJ was 12 or 13, same as Silas, Bryson's 15 or so, going out every weekend for something like 8 weeks sharing the gospel. And man, I'm just so thankful for like what God is doing. I didn't share the gospel when I was 12 years old. I think I was probably closer to 18 when I was doing it more on a regular basis. So there's Moses' baptism. We have individuals come out to stay with us for a while. These are some of them that have been there to be discipled. And we have a young lady, Rachel Greenwood, coming out shortly to be with us as well. Last thing I think I'll just share with the videos is we had the flooding. You heard about the atmospheric river that came out through Watsonville area. Well, it dropped right on top of us. And this is a city right across the levee that I showed you in that first picture. It's called Pajaro. And it was flooded. And as a result, we had opportunity to do some acts of kindness and goodness to people. And so we provided furniture or did various things to help them. So here we are. We cleaned out a lot of trash and went to the dump and just helped them with cleaning up their homes. This is Ethan, another young man that was with us for almost 2 years, I think. But the Lord's doing a lot of wonderful things out there in California. We're very thankful. And I really want to thank you all for your prayers and encouragement, your support with the work out there. Please keep praying for us. And God is working. We're very encouraged. So now I just have a little bit of time left. I do want to share with you from the Word of God this morning. And I really pray that this would be encouragement to some of you in here. While we were in California, the first 2 years, 3 years, 1 year before we went and the first 2 years there, I greatly struggled quite a bit. And I was to the point of being depressed sometimes. And my wife and I, me leading this time of prayer in our life, were praying, Lord, do you really want us here? Is this right? I mean, is this what you want? I was struggling so much. My dad had died. And all of a sudden, I felt like I needed to be with my family. I needed to care for my mom, be with my brothers and sisters. I have some that are unsaved. And I was like, I need to be there with them. And so a lot was wanting to pull me back to my family. And in that, the Lord showed me something very important that has been a really good lesson for me. And I think it's a great lesson for any believer, no matter where we're at. It's for anyone, whether you're saved or unsaved, because it applies to the unsaved too. But it's a choice of surrendering to God. And it begins with salvation. We like, I want you, God. I believe in Jesus. That's where it begins for us. We give our lives to him. Okay, I want to know you. And then as Christians, it's always continuing to grow with us. This area of surrendering our lives to him. And I want to share with you how the Lord did that. But before I do that, I just want to ask the Lord to help in these last few minutes we have to say what I need to say in 10 minutes. So, Father, I just thank you so much that you are good. And I thank you that you bring into all of our lives exactly what is needed that you might be glorified. Thank you for the lesson of surrender for me. I want to pray now with these few minutes left, Lord, that you help me to really key in on what you want shared. So I give you my mind and my mouth and my entire being for your spirit to control for your purposes and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So surrendering was really hard for me. I was worried about my kids. They had lived at Turkey Hill, great life. I knew that if they lived at Turkey Hill, at least in my mind, they would end up being good Christians because they were surrounded by good Christians. I was leaving family in at camp, my in-laws, my I don't know why we call in-laws, my mom and dad here and brothers and sisters here, leaving everyone, all of our family behind about 2,700 miles away. And that was really hard for me to give that up. And I didn't know that until after 2 years of being in California, the Lord made it really clear. I was going to speak with one of my team members one day about a lot of issues I had with him. Funny thing is, he hadn't done anything wrong. It was my heart that was wrong towards him. So that morning, I went out to pray, Lord, please help me know how to say these things to him. And you know what God did? He said, Micah, it's not him, it's you. And the problem is, you're holding on to your family. You're afraid for your finances, and you're afraid for your kids. Will you surrender those to me and let me work? And that morning, I surrendered those things to God afresh because I had done that before, but I gave them to God. And you know what God did in that moment? There was massive peace. I went to my friend and I said, hey, by the way, today's going to look a lot different. I want you to know I love you, and I am sorry for how I've acted. I didn't have to say anything towards him because God had shown me it was me. In surrender, we're going to see in the Word of God, always in a life of surrender, there is great blessing that will follow. And that's complete opposite to the world, isn't it? Because in the world, in a battle, surrender is defeat. In the Christian life, surrender is victory. Surrender is blessing. Let me give you a small example. In California, I've started surfing, and surfing's fun. I enjoy it, and I get to do it with some of the kiddos. But in surfing, what happens is there's these waves that come, and they come in sets. And there's one that will go right or left. It's a right break or left break. And you kind of line up, you get ready for it. You have a bunch of people out there trying to catch the same wave. And the first person up on that wave, that if it's going to the right, the first person up on that, he gets the wave. And you have to back off or surrender to that person. It's not always fun to surrender when you see that good wave and you're like, I really want that one. But you surrender. You know what happens so often? If you surrender on that first wave, the other ones come in, and typically the second or third wave ends up being the best one. And so it's just like that in the Christian life. We surrender to God, blessing will follow. So let me show you a couple verses that prove that. Deuteronomy chapter 30. And this is, we see this in an Old Testament life, and then we're going to see it for us as Christians now. But in Deuteronomy chapter 30, we read these verses. There's quite a lot here, and I'm not going to read them all. But God is putting before Israel a blessing and a curse. And it's very simple. In verse 15, he says, see today, Deuteronomy 30:15, see today I've set before you life and prosperity, death and adversity. I'm commanding you today to love your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commands, statutes, and ordinances, so that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God may bless you in the land you're entering to possess. And he goes on to say, but if your heart turns away and you don't follow me, there's going to be discipline and struggles. In the Israelites' life, we see all throughout it, when they surrendered or obeyed or yielded to God, any word you want to use, blessing followed. Now look at John chapter 15. We're going to see the exact same thing and the blessing that will follow for us when we choose to surrender. John chapter 15, verse 1 just says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. And then verse 3, you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I in you. Just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine, neither can you unless you remain in me. And then look down at verse 9, as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. What we see in John 15 is the same thing that we saw for Israel. God says to us as Christians, if you remain with me, what's remain mean? It means to stay in a place with somebody. To surrender means to abandon oneself entirely to someone or something. It's the same concept. If you remain or if you abide with me, you're going to have fruit. You're going to, it says here, have a powerful prayer life, but the greatest part of it is you're going to have me. You're going to know sweet fellowship with the Son and the Father. And so a life of surrender for us has great blessing, and I'm not talking about material wealth or any of those things. I'm talking about him. That is our blessing when we choose to surrender. It's God himself. It's Jesus Christ himself. Life hasn't changed for me in the sense of all the things that surround my life in California since I surrendered. I'm still 2,500 miles away from family. I'm still having the same financial struggles that I, or not so much the struggles. I no longer fear the financial issues like I did. And I no longer worry about my kids, like, are they going to be okay? All of those things stayed the same, but what changed is surrendering to God brought great peace, brought his comfort, brought a deeper relationship with him, brought joy in what God has called us to do. And I guess I want to ask you today, have you surrendered your life to God? And perhaps you did at one point, because I did. I was 14 years old at camp, and I said, God, I want you to have my life. I went home, and I got baptized. And I surrendered my life again when I was 18. I want you to have my life, and I want to go and serve you as a missionary somewhere. And I've continually had to surrender things in my life to him. Abraham's a great example of this, and this is what I wanted to share with you today. But trusting the Lord had other things. But in Abraham's life, we see moments that Abraham didn't surrender to God. There's actually moments that he feared. There's moments that he had his wife lie that they would be okay physically. And we see little moments where Abraham was struggling with completely, I think, surrendering to God and trusting God with God's will. But what did God tell Abraham when he said, I want you to go? He said, I want you to go to a land that you do not know. And then he follows it up by saying, I will greatly bless you. And so in Abraham's choice to surrender to God and leave family, leave his home, leave everything behind, his whole future, God said, you will have blessing. And along that journey, we see God working in Abraham's life that he would have that surrender. And then we read the famous passage, Genesis chapter 2, where he sacrifices his son Isaac. And what I love in that is in Hebrews 11, verse 17, it says that Abraham believed that God could raise his son from the dead. When he was brought to that moment of, are you willing to obey me and sacrifice your son, literally surrender your son to me? Are you going to do it? Abraham believed in God. And that's what I found for myself in surrendering to him in California, is that I needed to believe God with where he placed me. I needed to believe God with my children, that he knew my kids better than I did. Kevin would call me when I would call Kevin and say, I'm worried about my kids. Kevin would say, kids are resilient. They'll be okay. And I really found that to be helpful advice, because I thought my kids were going to go off the deep end because we had moved them away from this bubble of Turkey Hill Ranch Bible Camp. My kids are better off, I believe, because they're where God wants them. They're where we are where God wants us to be. And I had to choose to believe God with that. I had to choose to believe God with my finances. I had to choose to believe God with my mom and my brothers and sisters that aren't saved. All these things I had to surrender to God. And you know what? I found his great blessing in that. And I've also found that God takes care of my mom. I don't have to physically be there to do that. God's doing that. God has actually used people in my brothers and sisters' lives recently to share Christ with them. I don't have to physically be there with them all the time. And so I learned, surrender these things to God, believe in me, have faith in me. So I'm about done here. Just want to ask you, are there things that you're holding on to that you haven't surrendered to God? Perhaps it's your job. Perhaps it's your future. Perhaps it's your possessions, your home, your car. Perhaps it's your schooling. I have no idea what it might be for each one of you. Perhaps it's the things that you like to do in your free time. And perhaps they're not sin. Perhaps they're not unpleasing to God. But perhaps he has something better for you. A young man came up to me last week. And he said, Micah, this week, we talked about surrender at Turkey Hill this last week. He said, Micah, this week, I asked the Lord if there's anything I need to surrender. And all of a sudden, the Lord brought to mind a girl I like. And he said, as I prayed through it, the Lord made it clear that I would rather spend time with her than with God. Do you think I should surrender that relationship? I said, I don't know. What do you think? He said, I think I need to. God's more important. And that's what I would ask you. What has become in your life more important than God? And I ask you from the youngest to the oldest, because I'm 43 and I thought I had surrendered my family and I didn't know I hadn't. And so I had to do it again. And I may have to do it again in 10 years. Surrender is a lifelong process, but it is one that will be followed by blessing. And that blessing, I believe, the biggest blessing of it is Him, God Himself, a sweet relationship with Him. I want to finish with one story. Jonathan Romey, he's the man that portrays Jesus on The Chosen. I read a story about him recently where he had to choose to surrender. And it was before he was on The Chosen. He had been a starving artist, wasn't making money. He had debt, and he had $100 overdrafted on his bank, and he had $20 of cash. And he went to the Lord, and he was like, Lord, I've surrendered everything to you. What is going on here? Nothing is happening. My life is a mess. And he couldn't figure it out, and he was praying. And then he realized as he prayed, he had not yet surrendered his career to God. Like, he wasn't willing to give up acting. And so in that moment, he said, I am sorry, Father, here is my career. I surrender. He went home that day. He had four checks in the mail that took care of some of his debt and gave him some money to live on. And then I think it was 3 weeks later, Dallas Jenkins says, "Would you be Jesus on The Chosen?" And what a terrific testimony of someone that didn't surrender something and said, "I want to, and I give it to you, no matter how hard it is," and it followed with blessing. Father, we want to pray, I want to pray for the Fenton Bible Chapel, Fenton Crossing Bible Chapel, Lord, that anyone in here, doesn't matter the age, youngest to the oldest, anything that you would want to reveal to them that is not yet surrendered, that they would be willing to do. So I pray that again for myself anew. Anything that I haven't surrendered, I want to pray that you would reveal that to us. Your word makes it so clear there's always going to be blessing when we choose to surrender to you. Your son, Jesus Christ, not my will, but your will be done. And then he was exalted and given a name above all other names. So may we follow in the example of Jesus Christ and say, "Not my will, your will be done." In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.